In the gospel for today's Mass, the Lord Jesus gives us some fundamental lessons about love. And they're meant really, these lessons that he gives us, to prepare us for the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. For them, the first time, for us, kind of again, that ongoing renewal of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so the Lord is teaching them that, I want you to understand something. I'm offering you a whole new life. And my Spirit and the Spirit of my Father is going to come and live in you and change you and transform you. I'm offering you a brand new life. Now, again, we see that too many Christians tend to see the Christian life as just kind of a set of rules to keep, a kind of reducing the faith to kind of a moralism, you know, do good and avoid evil, and someday at the end of all this, God will hopefully let you into heaven. Now, I realize that I may be giving you a caricature, but it's too easy for many Christians to be tinged with this kind of thinking. Listen, what the Lord is doing is not just telling us to keep rules. The Lord is saying, I'm offering you a completely transformed life. I'm offering for my Holy Spirit to come and live in you and change you and transform you and bring love alive in you. And when that takes place, you'll keep the rules, but you'll be doing more than keeping rules. You see, the Christian faith is a transformative relationship with God the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son of God, and God our Father. So in this gospel today, the Lord is trying to teach us that it's this love, this Holy Spirit, that's going to change us and transform us. So with that in mind, let's look at some aspects of this love, this Holy Spirit that the Lord is offering us. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is the power of love. Listen to what the Lord says. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Now, be careful how you hear this. You see, a lot of Christians, when they hear the expression, if you love me, keep my commandments, they hear it like this. If you love me, prove it by keeping my commandments. And the Lord, again, this is to reduce the faith to a kind of a set of follow the rules and prove you love God, and maybe he'll let you in. Brothers and sisters, that is not the Christian faith. And I really hope you understand that is not the Christian faith. Now listen to the same expression of Jesus again, but let me put a different emphasis on it for you. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, if my love is in you and you're experiencing my love, you're going to keep the commandments. You see then, now it's a different understanding. It's not me trying hard to keep rules and therefore earn God's love. Rather, it's the opposite. It's I'm accepting the love of God into my heart. And now I want to keep whatever rules there are, but I want to go beyond the rules. I just love God, and whatever God wants, I want. Now, you see the vision. Love is the power by which we keep the commandments. It's not I keep the rules and God loves me. No, it's God loves me, now I can keep the rules and go beyond them. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If my love is in you, there is going to be a power in you to change your life. You'll be seeing sins put to death, love and grace and mercy and joy coming alive. My love in you, through the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, is going to be for you a power that will enable you, equip you, and empower you to keep the commandments. And not just keep them, but fulfill them. all the implications and the beautiful vision for your life that the commandments are, you'll keep those and more besides. So you see now, rather than there being rules not to break, now the commandments are a description of the transformed human person, a person who loves God above all things, loves their neighbor, loves justice, loves mercy, loves chastity, loves the poor, a transformed human person with a new heart and a whole new life and power operative within them. So there is a Christian moral vision, but it's really more of a description than a prescription, because the power of love brings us about in us. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, how is this, though? How does love really help us to keep and indeed surpass the commandments? Well, let's look at three qualities of love this morning. Three qualities. Love is extravagant, love expands, and love excites. So first of all, love is extravagant. I hear too many Christians kind of talk like this. Do I have to go to confession? How often? Do I have to go to Mass? Every Sunday? How many holy days? Do I have to give money to the church? How much? Now, look, it's not wrong to look for some guidelines in our life. That's all right. But, you know, there's a kind of a tone that's sort of more, what's the least I can do to qualify? What are the bare bones requirements of the Christian life? Looking for that bottom rung of the ladder, you know? Brothers and sisters, please understand, love doesn't ask what's the least I can do. Love wants to do more. Now let me explain and just give you an illustration. And men, just pay attention. Just fasten your seatbelts, all right? But imagine a young man who really loves a young woman. Now, I ask you, would this sound like love? If the young man were to go to the woman and say, all right, dear, your birthday is coming up. Now, there is this wearisome tradition of having to buy you a gift for your birthday. Now, let me ask you, dear, what is the cheapest and the least problematic gift I can buy for you to fulfill this dumb tradition? Does that sound like love talking? She's going to take the catalog and throw it in his face. He's done, right? All right. Listen, love doesn't ask questions like that, does it? Love doesn't say, what's the cheapest? What's the least? What's the bare bones requirement? Love is extravagant. Love is excited. Love wants to please the beloved and sometimes even spends foolishly. A young man who really loves a young woman and wants to please her and show his love will often go out and buy a very expensive gift, or he'll certainly lavish her with many different things, and he's excited and he's happy that her birthday is coming because now he can show that he loves her and he can have, again, some way of demonstrating his love. Right, men? Come on. Let's step up to the plate here, men. You see, again, the extravagance of love. The extravagance. And so you see, all these sorts of questions that sometimes you hear from Christians who say they love God. Do I have to? Do I have to go to church? Do I have to? Do I have to? Do I have to? You know, brothers and sisters, the saints would always say, if God wants it, I want it. If God doesn't want it, I don't want it. And too often you hear Christians saying, how come I can't have it? It's not so bad. Everybody else is doing it. But listen, when the love of God really enters our heart, we want it, and we're excited, and we're extravagant in our love and We give and we want to give more, and we're not seeing it as a burden or a duty, but something we're extravagantly doing just because we love. I love God, and what God wants, I want, and I want it in abundance. Let justice roll down like a mighty stream. Not just a little bit of justice, please. A mighty stream, see? A vision for the whole transformation of myself and indeed the whole world. Love is extravagant. And so the Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and more besides. And not only is love extravagant, but love expands. I've told you before, but I'll just remind you that years ago in high school, I dated a girl and she liked square dancing. And I thought square dancing was a hokey. You know, I thought that was crazy, square dancing. But she loved square dancing. And I love Paula, so I started loving square dancing. And I really did. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, okay, let's get through this. I really began to enjoy it. And that's the point, that when we love someone, we begin to love what they love, and we begin to love who they love. And it's a remarkable thing that can happen to us when we really love somebody. Another example I'll just say is right in front of me. I'm looking at you right now. You know, I spent most of my life as a priest in the African-American parishes, largely African-American, and celebrating the wonderful culture of gospel music and African-American spirituality and just really coming to love and enjoy every aspect of parish life. And you know, I didn't come out of the seminary kind of with that vision. I don't say I disliked it. It just wasn't part of my life. It wasn't on my radar. But as I say, spending years now, I first came here almost 18 years ago. I've been associated with this community for a long time now. And I left and went away for about 8 years, but then I came back. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, in my ministry here, and at St. Thomas More, among the African-American community, I've come to love what this community loves. And one of the things we love is gospel music. We love the beautiful form of worship and liturgy that we have. And I've come to love and understand and appreciate African-American history. And you know me, I'm always quoting songs and speeches and praise the Lord. And again, it's love that does that. I love you. And I begin to love and share the vision and share the joys and the beautiful gifts and all the things that are in the families. And I really begin to love what is loved here because I love you. Love expands our horizons. Love helps us to enjoy and appreciate things that never occurred to us before or that even we had aversion to. Square dancing, how hokey. But now I love it. And I don't do a lot of it anymore, you can tell, but I'll tell you, I love to sometimes get on the internet and go to a YouTube thing and watch the square dancing, and it's an amazing art form, beautiful. But again, you see the vision. That's what love does. It changes us so that we begin to love what the person we love loves and who the person we love loves. Now listen, if you love God and you're growing in your love for God, you begin and I begin to love what God loves and who God loves. You see, God loves justice. I love justice and I'm loving it even more. God loves mercy and joy and charity and forgiveness. I'm beginning to cherish and see these beautiful virtues and love them even more myself. God loves chastity, and I love and appreciate the beauty of purity and the summons that God gives us to take authority over things like anger in our life or lust or greed. I'm sharing that vision because that's God's vision, and I love God, and I begin to love what God loves. I share His vision. I'm excited and joyful about His Word and the whole magnificent vision He gives me for my life and for your life. Not only that, I don't just love what God loves, I'm beginning to love more and more who God loves. Do you understand? It's an amazing gift to be able to begin to love even troublesome people. And I love them and you love them more because God loves them. And even Jesus says, the more you love me, you'll even start loving your enemy. Even your enemy. Even your spouse. brothers and sisters, we start to have an affection and a love for people. We start to love them, even troublesome people, just because God loves them. And the more God's love is in me, the more I have the capacity and even the joy and the earnestness to love people who can sometimes even be a bit troubling. And it's a gift that God gives. And I am a witness. That happens in my life. And I pray you are too. I pray that you're beginning to love what God loves more and more and who God loves, because the love of God is growing in your heart. So love is extravagant. Love also expands, makes our heart larger, touches our mind, and helps us to love and appreciate things that never occurred to us before or were even something that we were averse to. Now we see and by love enjoy and celebrate what God does just because we love God. And then finally, I'll just say that love is not only extravagant and that love not only expands, but love also excites. It excites. Now listen, there another example, and again, men, fasten your seatbelts here. But imagine a young man who really loves a young woman. And one day she calls him and says, "My car is in the shop. Could you please drive me to work this week?" Now, let's say that, just by way of example, that means that this man's going to have to go miles out of his way every morning to get his beloved to work. But if he loves her, he's excited that she's asked. That means I'll get to spend more time with her. That means I'll get to show my love. Yes, I'll do it. And even though it may be a burden from some external point of view, it's not a burden to me. I love you, and I'm happy to help. Right, men? Okay. Just checking. Listen to what the scripture says. From 1 John, the first letter of John, in the 5th chapter, we read this. "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Love lightens every load. Do you see that when we really love someone, even if what they ask is difficult, if we really love them, it hardly seems like a burden at all. We're happy to do it. And the more intense our love, the happier we are, and the lighter the burden. Do you see what the Lord is getting at when he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and you won't see them as burdensome. You won't see them as impositions. You won't be bent out of shape. You're going to be extravagant in your response. You're going to be expansive because you're loving more and more and coming more in touch with my vision, and you're going to be excited to keep these commands because they're part of a vision for your life that you're starting to share with me. Brothers and sisters, the more we love God, we're excited and joyful in what he's offering us. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Not, if you love me, prove it by keeping my commandments. But no, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that points us toward Pentecost, which is coming in 2 weeks. You see, remember the story, you all remember Star Wars. "Luke, let the Force be with you. The Force." But brothers and sisters, for a Christian, the Force is not a what or an it. The Force is a he, the Holy Spirit. How are you going to love God more and more? You're not going to do it. Your flesh can't do it. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to live in you like a temple. If you will let him and begin to take possession of your heart and your mind, and he's going to put a deeper and deeper love for God in your heart every day if you let him. Jesus says, "I am telling you right now," he says, "I am going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will live in you and remain with you, and he will transform your heart." You and I cannot love God unless God first loves us. Again, the first letter of John says, it just says it plain. It says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he, God, the Holy Spirit, first loved us. And I tell you, and I promise you, and I am a witness, that in my life, as I've more and more invited the Holy Spirit into my life, and here we are in Holy Comforter Church, which is a title of the Holy Spirit. And the word comforter doesn't mean big fluffy pillow in Latin. Confirma in Latin means one who strengthens, one who fills, one who builds up. And here we are in a church that is named for the Holy Spirit, along with St. Cyprian. We praise God and we say, come Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, enter in my heart. Left to myself and all by myself, my flesh is selfish, my flesh is egotistical, my flesh is just plain mean. But when your Holy Spirit comes and warms my heart, and when your Holy Spirit comes and begins to change me and transform me, Lord, I just know I'm going to love you more and more, and I'll keep your commandments, but I'll go beyond what the commandments say, and I'll begin to embrace an incredible vision in my life. And church, I am a witness. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you what God is doing in my life. It is not Charles Pope. It is Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit and the Father's Spirit living in me. And more, I am loving God more. I am loving my neighbor more. I am loving the commandments more. I'm more joyful, more confident, more serene. I'm seeing sins put to death. My life is being changed by the Holy Spirit. And it's not me. It is God working in me. And I praise God, and as I witness to you, I hope and pray that there are some other witnesses in this church who can also say, yes, Lord, in my life, the same thing is true. Now listen, the devil wants you to think nothing's happening, or he'll cause you to diminish the progress you've made. Oh, well, it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal. If your heart moved even one inch, that's a big deal. Because I tell you right now, we are stubborn, stiff-necked people, we human beings. God said to Jeremiah one day, he says, I am sending you to a people who have a forehead of brass and a neck of iron. That's stubborn and that's stiff-necked. And if you've moved even one inch, that's a miracle. And you better start saying, praise you, Lord. I even knew enough to get up this morning on a holiday weekend and come to your house and praise you. My flesh didn't do that. That's your spirit. I know you've got even more than that to testify to. I know. If you've been faithful to the sacraments, if you've been faithful to prayer and God's word, I promise you, you've got a story to tell. Don't let the devil diminish it. Don't let the devil take it away. Ask the Holy Spirit to anoint you and show you what He's done in your life and testify. Testify. It won't be boasting because you're just saying what God did. I hope that there's a witness in this house. And the Lord simply says again today, and now I'm finished. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If my love is in you, you'll keep my commandments. Don't worry about that, see? I'm going to take care of that. But let me love you and begin to experience my love. And I promise you, a complete transformation of your whole person. It may happen slow and steady. It may happen quickly. But I promise you a whole new life. I'm mindful to finish with an old song. Just simply says, and again, it takes a gift of the Holy Spirit to really sing this. A parrot could say the words, but to really sing it with truth and sincerity requires the Holy Spirit. And it goes like this. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know what He's done for me. Gave me the victory. Oh, I really love the Lord. Amen.